All right, and I started the recording, and today we're going to look at looking at the false I thought, which is on page 23. I like the first line. It's time to go beyond everything you've learned. You guys ready for that?
Okay.
All right, here we go. It's time to go beyond everything you've learned. Everything you've learned has been helpful. It's been helpful toward willingness to take this next step. But without the step that we are taking together now, all that you've learned serves no real purpose toward awakening. And as the scribe, when this came, I knew, you know, for my personal life, this was referring to A Course in Miracles. This was referring to NTI. And this was referring to all of the messages. I think there were 60 messages that I wrote when Laurent and I were together, which is actually another book that he owns and he sells. So there's three books at this point that I had written. And I knew that this, oh no, I didn't write A Course in Miracles, did I? Two books. Two books that I had written, and plus one other that I had studied deeply. That I knew he was saying, everything you learned was only to bring you to this point. You know, that was all just preparation for what you're about to learn now. And so let's see what it is that we were brought here to learn. First, we have to notice the false I, and then we must relinquish it by not listening to its chatter anymore. It is one thing to tell you that a separate individual I exists in your thinking, and this I is an obstacle to realizing the truth about yourself. It is another thing for you to see and notice this I for yourself. As you look, you will notice that I exists as thought. You will notice that it reinforces itself through the constant chatter of the mind. Every story the mind tells reinforces the concept of me. Every little thought, no matter how subtle, reinforces the individual concept it has of itself. So I'm just going to make up some examples, but they're common examples, types of thoughts that we have. So one thought is, she doesn't like me. She is always trying to get other people to think poorly of me. You hear the me in that? I appear to be thinking about her, but me, it's reinforcing me. She doesn't like me, right? She tries to get other people to not like me. Let's see, I really like ice cream. You know, I think I want some ice cream. I haven't had ice cream in about a week. I've been working out all week. I can probably have some ice cream today. You hear all the I in that? I really don't like Donald Trump. You know, he says this and this and this, but I think that he's wrong because of this and this and this. I think that this is the way to solve that problem. Do you hear the I in that? If you pay close attention, no matter what you're thinking about, there's an I there. And that I is what's being reinforced, whether it's my eating habits, whether people like me or not, my opinions of how things should be. And so this is what Inner Ramana is saying, is that all of that chatter, although it appears to be thinking about all of these different problems and all of these different things going on in the world, it's really only doing one thing. It's reinforcing, I'm sure thousands of times a day, my God, if we could count it, I know none of us could, but thousands upon thousands of times per day, It's reinforcing the idea of me. That's what thinking is really doing. It appears to be doing all of these other things, but it's just over and over again reinforcing the idea of me. So let me read that paragraph again. It is one thing to tell you that a separate individual I exists in your thinking, and this I is an obstacle to realizing the truth about yourself. It is another thing for you to see and notice this I for yourself. As you look, you will notice that I exists as thought. You will notice that it reinforces itself through the constant chatter of the mind. Every story the mind tells reinforces the concept of me. Every little thought, no matter how subtle, reinforces the individual concept it has of itself. Today, we will continue to practice the mantra and surrender as a means of quieting the mind and detaching from thought. These two practices are key to your awakening, and we will not abandon them as just a step. But to reinforce your willingness and desire to practice the mantra and surrender with the full devotion of your heart, we are going to embark on another step of learning. We are going to look exactingly on the core message of the mind. Today, and so for us it means this week, something we don't have to make up assignments with this book because it gives us assignments. Today, when you notice the chatter in the mind, quiet the mind with the mantra, and then with the coolness or maturity of the quieted mind, look back at what the mind was telling you while you were listening to its chatter. Look for the I or me in the story or thought. Discover how the tricks and tumbles of the mind, in whatever direction it was turning in the moment, notice how it was telling you about I or me, separate from everything else. Now, of course, one thing that we're missing by being here for Inner Ramana is we're missing the democratic debates, presidential debates. But if we were at home in front of our TVs watching the debates, our mind might say something like, I disagree with her or him, or I don't think he should have attacked her or him in the way he did. You know, or I think he's interrupting too much, you know, and you know, all these kind of thoughts. So what this is saying is when we notice that we're chattering, stop, you know, say the mantra, I am that I am, and then look back at the chattering that was just happening and notice the I or the me in it. Notice that by saying, I don't think he should attack her that way, what I'm really doing is emphasizing I. And in fact, what begins to happen, if it hasn't happened for you already, what begins to happen is that you start to actually feel the ego being puffed up. You can feel that when you're, I don't think blah, 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 I think blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can feel it, like it's inflating inside of you, right? And so, and the more and more you pay attention to this, the more and more you'll be able to feel when that ego is puffing up. But it is totally puffing up. You know, you're having a discussion with somebody about politics or whatever, and it seems like you're not even necessarily talking about you. But if you look carefully, that's all you were doing. All you were doing was talking about you and what you think, right? In fact, again, I didn't get to see the Democratic debates, but I did see the Republican debates. I saw them both times. But what I remember is after the debate, somebody asked me what I thought. And the only thing I could honestly say is all I saw were a bunch of opinions. You know? And that's okay. That's okay. All I saw were a bunch of opinions. But as soon as you start latching on to those opinions, That's when you're actually talking about yourself, and that's that the false self, and that's when you'll start feeling the false self puff up. It will puff up. So what we're asked to do this week is to pay extra attention to how our thinking, whatever the chatter is, right, how what it's really doing is basically kind of whispering, you know, I mean, not directly, but it's kind of whispering. It's like, for you, it would be like, you are Francine. That's who you are. You are Francine, the person who thinks this and this and this. You are Francine, the person who's victim of this and this and this. You are Francine, the one who's smarter than everybody else because of this and this and this. But the key message is getting repeated. You are Francine. And of course, you are Priscilla, and you are Dan, and I am Regina. I mean, that's what it's doing all of the time. And so what Inner Ramana wants us to do is become very, very aware of that. Because if we start becoming very, very aware of when we think we're listening to our mind talking about something reasonable, how to solve a problem, that what it's really doing is just saying, you know, you are Priscilla, over and over again, maybe that willingness will build up to stop listening to it. You know, it's kind of like we're catching on to the mind's tricks. So, going to the bottom paragraph on page 24. But no, I'm not. I'm going back to the top paragraph on page 24. It's going to reinforce what I just said, but I'm going to read it again. In fact, it starts off, but to reinforce. But to reinforce your willingness and desire to practice the mantra and surrender. I wanted to read that part again. With the full devotion of your heart. Okay? We are going to embark on another step of learning. So again, the reason that we're starting to really notice how our thinking is puffing up the eye is so we will become more willing to practice the mantra and surrender with the full devotion of our heart. That's the purpose of this exercise. We kind of want to grow tired of how much the mind is whispering, I, me, I, me, I, me. Oh, in fact, you guys want to hear a song? We have time. Listen to this great song. This is by the Beatles. You guys like the Beatles? Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that because I'm going to play them anyway. Let's see. Oh, wait, where is my song? Isn't that funny? I don't see it here. Somebody's playing a joke on me. Artist. Beatles. Damn, why it's not there. Let's go to purchase date. Maybe it wasn't all of the Beatles. Maybe it was a Beatle. No, it's the Beatles. I don't know why it didn't show up with my Beatles list. Okay, the name of this song is I, Me, Mine. You ready?
I need me mine.
So the Beatles were noticing that that's what the mind is saying all the time. Oh, I gotta cancel this. Oh, I like Susan Boyle too, but we'll cancel. Bye, Susan.
Yeah, I've never heard that song from the Beatles.
Yeah, it wasn't one of their popular ones. I never heard it either during one of my Seven Steps teachings a month or so ago. Someone in the room, a guy named Robbie, said, "That's just like the Beatles song. I mean, mine."
And, I wonder and, who was singing it.
Yeah.
Don or
I don't know okay. who was singing it, but yeah, it's a great song, and it shows, you know, the Beatles, I guess, had a guru, and it shows that they were paying attention to their guru, and they were actually looking and noticing, and they saw what Inner Ramana is asking us to see, that all the mind is really saying, although it appears to be thinking about all kinds of things, is just saying, I mean mine, I mean mine, I mean mine, all through the day, I mean mine, I mean mine, I mean mine, you know? That's what Inner Ramana wants us to notice, right? And it's saying, if you see that that's all that's going on, then that's going to increase your willingness for the surrender and for the mantra, because you're really going to grow tired of it probably. You know, you're going to see what an obstacle it is to realizing truth, right? So, again, with the second paragraph on page 24. Today, when you notice the chatter in the mind, quiet the mind with the mantra, and then with the coolness or maturity of the quieted mind, look back at what the mind was telling you while you were listening to its chatter. Look for the I, or me, or we could go with the Beatles, or mind, in the story or thought. Discover how the tricks and tumbles of the mind, in whatever direction it was turning in the moment, notice how it was telling you about I, or me, separate from everything else. This is the key attachment in the mind. All other attachments are brought about to support and reinforce this one. So, as we let go of seeming specific attachments through surrender and through quieting the mind, we are really letting go of one key attachment. I will call that the false identity, I or me. So maybe if we were going to have some kind of a retreat, you know, we could have some kind of a teaching about attachments and how to notice if you're attached and all of that. And then we could send people off and say, okay, now, you know, spend some time in contemplation and make a list of all of your attachments. And, you know, people might write about their families and their homes and their money and their reputation and all of that. Ramana is saying those are all secondary. The real attachment is I, me. The false self. Those are also just there to support it, to prop it up, right? But the real attachment that you have is the attachment to me, right? To who you think you are. That's what we need to see, and that is the false self. So the key attachment of the mind is the false identity. The top of page 25. Surrender is a means of detaching from the false I, because surrender acts in the world without belief or interest in the mind's stories and ideas, which are the stories and ideas that uphold the idea of I. So this again, we've seen this before, but it's just reinforcing itself. The real reason for surrender is so that we can let go of listening to the chatter. You know, because before I turn on the recording, I was talking about how, you know, when I was working out today, some thoughts started coming in about what workout I might do tomorrow and even what workout I might do on Thursday. And I don't remember those thoughts because I, you know, let them go. I saw what was happening and I just said, you know, stop it. You know, I'll know what workout to do when I get there. But let me just ad lib a little bit. All right. So let's see. Tomorrow, there's a class in the morning time from 8 until 10. There's a meeting in the afternoon at 3, and then Danielle's coming over for dinner. So that really means I only have this amount of time in order to do the 7 steps, in order to do meditation, in order to work out, shower, and watch Jamie. I did weights today, so tomorrow I should do aerobics. Oh, I have this one aerobic that's only 30 minutes long, that'll be good, but I'm kind of bored with that one. And you know, you see how the thinking goes, right? And it can just go on and on and on and on. And really, all that's doing is reinforcing the idea of me. All of that, it seems like practical thinking, but if you listen very carefully, I have to teach this class, I have to go to this meeting, I have to walk the dog, I have to meditate, I have to 7 steps, I have to shower, I have to work out. I don't have much. Do you hear all the I's in that? Right? Just constant, constant thinking about me. That's what's really going on there. And so when we practice surrender, we're avoiding all of that thinking which appears practical. Appears practical. I'm thinking about my schedule, my day. It appears practical. But what it's really doing is over and over again repeating that little I, me, me, right? So I let go of all of that thinking about my workouts, and I just say, when I get there, when it's time for a workout, I'll know it's time and I'll know what workout to do. Look at all the I, me thinking that was cut out in that. You see? It's like you're amputating a bunch of that I, me, me, mine every time you choose to surrender instead of thinking. So again, this is why we're letting go of the thinking and choosing surrender. And what's amazing is that your intuition will know what to do when. You don't have to have this conversation with yourself about your workout, right? In fact, you could have this whole conversation with yourself about your workout, and guess what? When you get there, you make a different decision anyway, right? Because your intuition kicks in then, but unfortunately, you spent 2 hours reinforcing I, me, me, mine, or however much time you spent in that 24-hour period thinking about your workout, right? So that's what this is all about. Surrender is a means of detaching from the false I, because surrender acts in the world without belief or interest in the mind's stories and ideas, which are the stories and ideas that uphold the idea of I. So tomorrow, when it comes time for my workout, I'll know what to do. I don't need to think about it between now and then. It is important to notice that this I is fully supported by thought, right? You need to notice that you're not thinking practically, you know, in a practical way about your day and your schedule and how you should prioritize. That's a facade. What you're doing is reinforcing the idea of who you think you are. Now, this is also nice. I am not that can be a helpful inner response when the mind is insisting through its stories and ideas that you are what you are not. After refusing to accept the mind's thoughts as your truth, you can humbly and with desire return the mind to the mantra and surrender, which are the path, the moving walkway, back into the remembrance of your truth. I'll tell you when I think the I am not that statement is most helpful is when you find yourself thinking about yourself in ways like, I am so stupid, I am so dumb, I can't believe I, whatever. I am not that. I am so smart. Did you see how I solved that problem? I am not that. Oh my God, I'm such a distracted driver. I can't believe I didn't see that guy. I am not that. So whenever you find yourself defining yourself in any way, whether that definition is what one might call good or bad, right? Positive self-esteem or negative self-esteem. Just if you catch yourself defining yourself in any way, just say, I am not that. Whatever definition you gave, I am not that. This is one thing that's different about what I call truth teachings or true spirituality than a lot of the self-serving, self-improvement teachings. Because the self-serving, meaning they're still propping up the I, right? The self-serving, self-improvement teachings teach you to let go of the negative. So instead of saying, I am bad, you say, I am not bad, I am smart. Instead of saying, I am ugly, you say, I am not ugly. I am beautiful. You know, instead of I am victim, I am not victim. I am powerful, right? Guess what? The I's still in there. Yay! You know? It doesn't care whether you're saying I'm ugly or I'm beautiful, I'm weak or I'm powerful. You're going to respond with, I am not that, right? And you're not going to replace it with a definition, right? We're just starting to wake up to how often the mind defines, and then we're just denying the definition rather than accepting it. Okay, the last paragraph. It is important to realize that belief in the mind writes the script of the world. Therefore, surrendered action without belief does not write a script. In this way, it ultimately frees one from the illusion of the world. And Inner Ramana is going to go deeper into this in a later meeting, but basically, or a later message for us, a later meeting. But basically, when we are believing the mind, we are also authoring illusion. And so if we can learn to let go of a story, even in mid-story, like I do with the workout thing, you know, I don't stop it. I'm not going to think about tomorrow's workout right now. When you let go of a story like that, you also let go of authoring the illusion. And, you know, imagine, if you will, that somehow... because this is kind of what it's like, but imagine that somehow we're writing ourselves into a cartoon world. And the more we write, the more things they are, and the more excited we are by all the things that we see and all the things that happen in our cartoon world. But if you start not writing, the cartoon world begins to disappear, right? But that's what Inner Ramana is saying. If we stop writing, it's going to begin to disappear. It's going to begin to fade. We're going to begin to see through it. We're going to begin to notice isness instead of the stories that we write on the world. So the way that we write the script of the world is by believing the mind stories. So surrender and mantra, which are taking us away from the mind stories, are not only they're not only weakening the reinforcement of the belief in the false self, they are also weakening the reinforcement of the belief in the world. So we're kind of doing two things at once when we start practicing the mantra and surrender instead of listening to the mind. So I think our assignment is clear. It's right there in that middle paragraph on page 24. We're going to continue with the mantra. We're going to continue with surrender. In fact, that was back at beginning at the bottom, page 23. Today we will continue to practice the mantra and surrender as a means of quieting the mind and detaching from thought. These two practices are key to your awakening, and we will not abandon them as just a step. Right? So we're going to keep right on doing those every week. You can just expect that. But then we have a special assignment this week as well. And that's whenever we notice the chatter in the mind, first quiet the mind with the mantra. Then with the maturity of the quieted mind, look back at what the story was and look for the I or me in the story. What Inner Ramana wants us to do is see this for ourselves. Because if we see for ourselves over and over again, there it was again, then we start to grow tired of it. We don't grow tired of it just by reading in a book, you know, that it's reinforcing the false self. He wants us to genuinely grow tired of it. So we'll become more motivated for these practices. So try that this week. Try to catch yourself thinking, say the mantra, then look back. Where was the I, the me, or we could use the Beatles, mine, right? Where was the I, me, or mine in that story? My guess is, unless you happen to be contemplating truth, my guess is any chatter that's happening, there won't be any that you can't find in I, me, or mine. Even if it appears to be about somebody else, right. If you look, you're going to find it. It's always there, right? So I'll stop the recording.
Sometimes if you do the mantra.
Go ahead, I want you on the recording. Go ahead.
Sometimes when you do you notice that there's a story there, but you see the mantra, and then you want to look, but it's gone.
Well, and if that happens, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, don't worry about that. Don't, you know, if it's so gone that you can't even look back at it, then just let that be. All right?